if there was a cat-shaped iceberg. And when you see it, it's actually surprisingly stable configuration of the cat's head above the water and the tail above the water, but it is pretty funny.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, odds are maybe some part of this would break off, like the tail in real life, right. Who knows. But it does give you an idea that, like, okay, what you see above the surface and what you can imagine underwater can be very different, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of funny.
But so other than, you know, getting an accurate scientific picture to sort of combat this proverbial vision of what we have of icebergs, why is it important to visualize icebergs properly? Like, why was this Megan's hill to die on?
Well, I think it was her glacier to die on, in part because she's a glaciologist, right?
Right.
And practically speaking, okay, there's not a whole lot of application for this, right? Like, if you're boating close to an iceberg, it is good to know that an iceberg could spread out a ways under the water. That way, you know, you might avoid hitting it. But really, it speaks to this larger issue in many scientists, like geology, where so much of the world is invisible to us, right? So my dad, for example, is a geophysicist. And when he's explaining big planetary physical phenomena and change over time, like how tectonic plates shift around the world, visual aids are completely essential.
So the bigger issue is representing things more scientifically in general, whether it be icebergs in pop culture or scientific diagrams in textbooks or scientific diagrams on the news or something like that.
Right. It's like, as long as we're going to try to represent these things, we might as well get it right, you know, for the sake of education and for the sake of really understanding the world around us.
For sure.
And what this fairly specific and smaller story made me think of was Emmett's 99 PI episode on dinosaurs. It's about how, you know, drawings have both been shaped by, but have also shaped the discipline of paleontology. And, you know, like glaciologists or geologists, paleontologists have this important role in helping us visualize things. But like these other scientists, they have to extrapolate at times too, based on whatever evidence they have.
So evidence like the fossilized bones of dinosaurs or even the sort of modern genetic relatives of dinosaurs, that's how we extrapolate what they look like.
Yeah, exactly. And so icebergs are kind of this great contemporary physical example, but they're also this useful analogy, right? It's really easy to use icebergs to explain how we sometimes can't see what's below the surface. And they hint at this larger challenge that scientists face more broadly. Like, how do we picture what we can't see? And it turns out that's a much deeper question.
On that note, we're going to revisit Emmett Fitzgerald's story called Welcome to Jurassic Art. And while listening, you might want to keep other scientific disciplines in mind, because it probably applies to most of them. Anyone who has had kids knows that they go through obsessive phases that can last anywhere from a few days to several years.
I went through a lot of phases growing up.
That's producer Emmett Fitzgerald.
There was a brief train phase. Then in preschool, I was obsessed with farming equipment.